This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Take a spin through the radio dial in just about any American city, and you'll hear the sounds of a major demographic trend. The fastest growing segment of the U.S. population is Hispanic, and on the air you'll hear everything from salsa to the hot Latin hip-hop style called reggaeton. But there's another style that's been bubbling just beneath the surface for almost a decade. It's called Latin alternative. Today, we begin a four-part exploration of the genre, who's buying it, who's making it, and where it's being developed. NPR's Felix Contreras begins by trying to define the music, and that's tough because it encompasses everything from punk to tango to electronica.
In a small Brooklyn recording studio, the members of the band Candela Soul are mixing their first CD.
The role is too generic.
A discussion about a drum roll takes on a larger significance when the musicians come from the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, and New York City, and their influences range from Afro-Cuban salsa to 1980s arena rock.
We're a product of America.
Luis Burgos is the band's guitarist and songwriter.
We're a product of, you know, of Guns N' Roses and Diana Ross and Journey, Metallica, and also we go home and we listen to Hector Lavoe, Eddie Palmieri, and, you know, Johnny Pacheco. So, you know, it's all that confusion that creates what we call Candela Soul.
That eclectic collection of influences is at the heart of Latin alternative, a music created by young players who've been raised not only on their parents' music, but also on rock, hip-hop, and electronica. It represents a sonic shift away from regionalism and points to a new global Latin identity. The singer Bebe from Spain is Latin alternative, and so is the Argentine band Bersuit. And so is this band, Orisha, from Oakland, California. The term Latin alternative was coined in the late 1990s, not by musicians or their fans, but by record company executives as a way to sell music that was literally all over the map. It was marketed as an alternative to the slick, highly produced Latin pop that dominated commercial Spanish language radio. Think Ricky Martin or Shakira. In the very beginning, young musicians were reacting to something else. In the 1960s, LPs from the U.S. and Europe found their way south, and performers there eventually found a voice in rock and roll to speak out against their authoritarian governments and societies. In Mexico City, a pioneering rock band gave itself an English name, Three Souls in My Mind, and took on the government with Abuso de Autoridad, or Abuses of the Authorities. Alex Lora is singing, "To live in Mexico is the worst. We are not allowed to protest because they'll take us away." By the mid-1980s, the music was still taking on social issues. By then, it was being called rock en español, and songs were about revolutions, globalization, and immigration to the U.S. Rock en Español was also a sonic challenge to traditional Latin American cultures. In 1988, the Mexican group Maldita Vecindad y Los Hijos del Quinto Patio released its first CD. The musicians turned their father's mariachi music on its ear.
Hey,
Maldita's lead singer, who goes by the name Rocco, explains how the band found a place for itself in the cracks between listener expectations.
For the rockers in Mexico, we was too guapachosos, you know, too salsa, too tropical, too Afro-Latin, because we use percussions and saxophone. And for the Afro-Latin musicians in Mexico, we was too rockers because we use guitar and we shout and we play speed rhythms, you know. So we was in the middle. We was alternative for the alternative.
In the internet age, culture moves across borders easier than people, and Latin alternative is no longer just a reaction to outside influences, but its own thing or things. Josh Kuhn is an associate professor of English at UC Riverside and has written about Latin alternative for over a decade.
The music's reach and scope continues to grow across cultures and across backgrounds, not only in the audiences, but also within bands themselves, where some bands will kind of be sneaking in white American members or African American members or Asian American members. And likewise, the audiences, though still primarily Latino, are audiences that are becoming more and more characteristic of what we might consider a kind of stereotypical urban audience, of a multicultural audience.
Kuhn says amidst that cultural mix, the struggle for identity has overtaken politics and oppressive regimes to become a central theme of Latin alternative.
To be quote-unquote Latin in the U.S. has always been kind of wrapped up with ideas of being tropical, of being caliente, of being spicy, and all of these stereotypes of Latinos in the U.S. that Latin alternative music was always had no time for and didn't want to have anything to do with it at all, and wanted to defy expectations and defy stereotypes.
Hay un enigma en tu mirada. Esos ojos tan bellos que me llaman.
Back in the studio, the band Candela Soul seems to have resolved its own identity crisis. A drum break that started as a typical dance club riff was tweaked into a beat based on Puerto Rican bomba music.
That's better. That's it.
It's a small adjustment, but it shines a sharp light on musical and social changes in Latin America and in this country. Again, Luis Burgos, Candela Soul's guitarist.
We cannot be the poster boys of Latin music because we don't want to represent salsa alone and merengue alone. And we want to represent what music really touches from when we were children in our country and here in the United States.
Tomorrow, the struggle of making music and making money below the radar. Felix Contreras, NPR News.
And Felix Contreras has a suggested list of Latin alternative listening. You can find it at our website, npr.org.